will share our love and respect for the nature. And we are very happy that you came and joined us, because I think you know that's why you are here, but you will see that nature, Mother Earth, she really needs the healing light and love of Baba. And we are instruments that can share love and light of Baba with all living creatures and all elements of the nature. So today we would like to offer some exploration, going deeper in different aspects related to biodiversity, to land regeneration, to water conservation, to clean energy, to pure food. And then we will have also some very interesting experiments. And we will also experience how we can serve the nature. And this all is an offer for all of you to get more engaged in this service, because the call of the time is now. Now really the earth is crying. So this session is offered to you by three of us. We have prepared various things, and we have also invited two more speakers, experienced BKs who will share their work. But I will start with us. So maybe I would like to ask Tamasin to introduce yourself, please.
Om Shanti. So my name is Tamasin. I'm BK from Australia. And my interest in animals and nature has been since childhood. And since then, as Baba talks about the elements, I've become... felt the urgency, you know, when Baba says, can you hear the call of nature? Can you hear the call of the elements? And I feel it's very aligned with my spiritual path. By background, I've been a paramedic, an anthropologist, and I'm one of the things I look at as an anthropologist is the relationship between humans and nature, and humans and non-humans as well. So I'm very interested. Thank you for being here.
Om Shanti. So I'm very happy to be here to offer some of the maybe research work I've been doing regarding showing that the vibrations of one's thoughts actually impact on the elements of matter. Baba says this all the time. And I'm in a space where I can do research to try and show whether this is actually the case or not. I'm a civil engineer specializing in water resources, and a lot of water is used for irrigation. So if you can use that water more efficiently, for instance, by approaches like yogic farming where you're obtaining more crop with the same resources or with less resources, then that would make a practical impact. So coming from that side, I've been doing a bit of work, a bit of research in this area, and that's one of the main things I'll be sharing, in addition to other things. Om Shanti.
Thank you. And my name is Aneta, and I'm also happy to be here. And I'm here because I feel it's my privilege and my honor to be Baba's instrument to serve the nature. For 10 years I've been serving in India One Solar Thermal Power Plant in Shantivan, and recently I also got different chances to do service at UN platforms. And we will also speak about it a little bit later on. So now I think I just would like to invite you to participate in this session. Open your heart and open your mind. As Sister Jayanti says, this green service is actually for us to re-emerge the sanskaras of love and respect for the nature. And we see that the sanskaras will stay with us till the end of the kalpa. And also this service is really what Baba would like us to do, to become images of support for human souls and for the nature. So the nature also can get purified through our pure vision and elevated actions. And then through this, others get inspired and they will ask, wow, how come you are like this? How come you can do this? And then they will also get closer to Baba. So I feel very honored and privileged to be part of this team. And our program is quite packed, as you will see, because we were very enthusiastic to share many, many things. So let us see how it goes, and we are flexible to adjust. But before we start, I would like you to take just half a minute to reflect for yourself why you are here, how you would like to take benefit from this session. Because when we make objective and aim clear, then we can take more benefit, isn't it? So please just spend half a minute and think for yourself, why have you come here? Shanti, thank you. We are here to serve the nature. And actually we should be outside, isn't it? Not inside. But we have some plants. This is our...
This is our daddy. Daddy Sunflower.
Daddy Sunflower. Please meet her. Very beautiful, very dignified. But okay, we are not outside. Still we are here and we would like to bring some ideas or some feelings of the nature, different elements, because not often we think how nature thinks or how water feels, how the flower feels. So now we will offer you this kind of perspective to start with.
Some call me nature.
And can we turn off the light? Light?
Others call me Mother Nature. I've been here for over 4.5 billion years. 22,500 times longer than you. I don't really need people, but people need me. Yes, your future depends on me. When I thrive, you thrive. When I falter, you falter. Or worse. But I've been here for eons. I have fed species greater than you, and I have starved species greater than you. My ocean, my soil, my flowing streams, my forests, they all can take you or leave you. How you choose to live each day, whether you regard or disregard me, doesn't really matter to me. One way or the other, your actions will determine your fate, not mine. I am nature. I will go on. I am prepared to evolve. Are you?
This is Mother Nature, how she feels. What do you feel? Now let's see. No, you can keep the slide down, yes. Now let's see what the soil thinks about us, humans.
I am the soil. I am in the hills and in the valleys, the farms, the orchards. Without me, humans could not exist. But you treat me like dirt. Do you realize that I'm just thin skin on this planet? And that I'm actually alive? Full of organisms that grow your food? But I'm broken, aching, overused, sick. withered me away to less than half of what I used to be just over 100 years ago. Are you paying attention? I am turning.
Soil is asking us whether we could treat her with a little bit more respect if we want to eat. Can we? Okay. Yes. Yeah. I think this is something what we can't fix now, can we?
I suppose the summary of that soil was that soil is alive and is under our feet and is responsible for feeding us, yet we pollute it, we disregard it, we speak about earth like it is dirt, but we need to treat soil with respect because through the soil we receive our food.
Thank you. So let's listen to water.
I am water. To humans, I am simply just there. I'm something they just take for granted. But there is only so much of me, and more of them every single day.
I am water. But you take me for granted.
I start as rain in the mountains.
I start as rain in the mountains.
And end up in the ocean.
I am rivers and streams. I flow into the ocean.
Then the cycle begins again.
Then the cycle begins again.
And it will take me 10,000 years to get back to the state I'm in now.
It will take me 10,000 years to get back to where I am now.
But to humans, I'm just water.
But to humans, I'm just water. Just there.
Where would humans find me when there are billions more of them around? Where would they find themselves? Will they wage wars over me like they do over everything else?
Where will humans find me?
But it's not the only option.
And where will humans find me when there are many more billions of them? And will people wage war over me, water?
Thank you. And they will. The UN states that actually in the future, or even now, lack of water is one of the main reasons of wars that are started.
And actually, Baba said in the Murli, Avyakt Murli in the 80s, he said, you won't be able to get a glass of water with a gold ring.
Yes.
Such will be the time.
Yes. And one more. Flower. Okay.
I am a flower. Yes, I'm beautiful. And it never grows old. I'm worshipped for my looks, my scent, my looks. But here's the thing. Life starts with me. You see, I feed people. Every fruit comes from me. Every potato, me. Every kernel of corn, me. Every grain of rice, me. Me, me, me. I know, but it's true. And sometimes I feed their souls. I am their words when they have none. I say I love you without a sound. I'm sorry without a voice. I inspire the greatest of them. Painters, poets, pattern makers. I've been amused at them all. But in my experience, people underestimate the power of a pretty little flower. Because their life does start with me. And it could end without me.
So that was about the flower worshipped for her looks. But yet she is responsible for food. She brings happiness. It was complex. It was
me. Everything.
Yeah, everything was
about me.
That's right. Everything's about me.
And then you take me for granted. But your life starts with me, and it can end with me. Finish.
Every fruit, every grain, every vegetable. There's a flower. Begins with a flower. In its life cycle.
I don't know about you, but when I saw this for the first time, I was really very much moved. Because we never think from their perspective. And of course we cannot hear, but we can feel if we tune to the vibrations. And we will do some experiments later on also. So now we have a quiz for you. Okay? Are you ready to answer some questions? So let's see how well we know our Mother Nature and the current state of it. You cannot see it very well, right? I will read it out, or the machine will read it out.
How many Earths? Oh, yeah, it's not so clear.
No, totally not. I have a mic.
Oh, you do.
Okay, I do. So the first question is, how many Earths do we have? This is a very easy question. How many Earths, planets, Earths do we have? How many?
One.
One Baba, one planet. Okay. So the question is, how many Earths do we need to regenerate the resources we are currently using? How many Earths do we need to regenerate the resources we are using, like in 1 year? How many Earths do we need so whatever we use will be regenerated and also the waste will be absorbed? Three. But we have only one. How can we have three, right? Okay. Not 3, but 1.8. 3, if we lived like people in Poland, for example, or maybe if everyone in the whole world would live like people in the United States, we would need more than 5 planets Earth. If everyone would live like people in India, we would need 0.8. But we know that India is a developing country. So currently, globally, we need 1.8 Earths to regenerate the resources that we are using and to absorb the waste. So how is it possible? How is it possible? It means we live on the credit. And who will pay this credit? Next question. How much of the world's coral reefs have been lost in the last 30 years? In the last 30 years, how many coral reefs have been lost? And coral reef is very important. I think Tamasi knows much more about it, coming from Australia maybe. But coral reefs are nursery for fish. Like 25% of all fish come from these coral reefs. So, how many have been degraded in the last 30 years? What is the percentage? What do you think? You are very pessimistic, but it's 50%, okay? 50%, which is huge anyway, and it's growing. Okay, next question. How many plants and animals are threatened with extinction? How many species of plants and animals are threatened with extinction? 10,000, 100,000, 1 million. 1 million. Huge, right? And already many have gone extinct. and many are on the red list, mostly due to loss of habitat, mostly due to current agricultural processes.
I just wanted to mention koalas that are famous in Australia, they're now endangered because their habitat has been destroyed for animal farming. So, yeah.
Okay. How much have the population of wildlife declined in the last 50 years? You know, in our lifetime, how much of the wildlife population have declined in percentage? What do you think? 69%. Can you imagine? Just in 50 years, 69% of population of wildlife has disappeared from this earth. Again, because of whom? One species, or how you say. Okay, this is very interesting. What is the distribution of mammals on Earth? Mammals, animals. So there is the category of wild animals, livestock, and humans. Okay? So is it A, like 45%, 35, 20, B or C? So how much wild animals in percentage do you think are there in the world today from all mammals, all mammals? How much? Including human beings, livestock. How much? Yeah, it is C. But would you say it is C? Only 4% of all mammals in the whole world are wild animals. Mostly this is livestock. It means cows, pigs, and chicken, of course, is not a mammal, so it's not included here. If we included chicken, then there would be nothing for wild animals in terms of population. And human beings, 34%. This is measured in biomass, tons of carbon, but okay. Sorry? It means that wild animals are really very little, right? That livestock is actually taking over the animal kingdom, right?
I think one of the things is that unless we can make profit, we don't think that something is valuable in this world. So wild animals really don't make money. So they're often considered a nuisance. In Australia, it's a bit like this. And their habitat is destroyed so we can have farms for sheep and pigs and cows to feed people, and wild animals are getting less because of that regard, because they can't be monetized. We can't make a profit from them.
Okay, last question. You know, we are facing global warming, climate change. So we produce too much heat because of using fossil fuels for different things, power generation, but also we generate different greenhouse gases in other activities. So this heat that we human beings generate, how much of this excess heat has the ocean absorbed so far? What do you think? How much of this extra heat has ocean absorbed? 40, 70, 90%? 90%. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the state of the ocean that becomes like a hot soup?
Yeah, hot bath.
Yeah, hot bath. It is devastating for all life in the ocean. Okay, so these are just few examples to see where we live and what we created out of this earth, which is our mother for the bodies. So this is the list with the different UN bodies that try to tackle all these different things from climate change point of view, biodiversity loss point of view, land degradation point of view, food security point of view. They all meet and discuss, and we participate in these discussions also. We come and we speak about mind and matter, confluence of two systems, about living in harmony, about consciousness and climate change, about flourishing future. So but we know where the world goes. For us, this is a platform to share Baba's knowledge in a relevant, very relevant way. So souls can take benefit, they can transform, and also we can serve the nature in this way. So now I would like to ask Tamasin to share fragments from Baba's Murli, what Baba has said about serving the nature.
Baba spoke last night about the tree, us as the ancestors being the roots of the tree. And he said the roots have a connection with every part of the tree, the twigs, the branches, the leaves, the flowers. And that's true with us as ancestors, but also true of the tree. The other day, Baba says, the Father gives bliss to the whole world, including the elements. Bliss means mercy. The unmatchable beauty in Satyu is reserved for you exceptionally high souls, because you are the ones who have served nature, and you are the ones who have been kind to nature. You have been with nature through the entire drama, and now nature plays her very good part until the end. You high and rare souls are the masters of nature. You understand nature and come into positive relationship with her. As the self-sovereign ancestor souls, you are happy on seeing the games of nature. Whether nature fluctuates dramatically or shows you soft and beautiful forms, you observe both of these games. And while seeing everything, you remain beyond their influence. In your kingdom of truth, all of the elements will constantly do and be as you wish them to do and be. But you must now make this old world new. For this, you must serve nature and all living beings now with great humility and care. The service done now frees you from having to serve for birth after birth. As a result of your living lightly and gently amongst nature now and among all other living beings, the elements and other life forms will accompany you as friends throughout time. From the Golden Age onwards, they will be there with you and for you in the ways that you wish them to be, when you wish them to be. This is because of your service, your humility, and your kindness in the Confluence Age.
Thank you, Baba. Thank you, Tamasin. So let us go to the first theme we would like to discuss and explore today, which is biodiversity. Biodiversity is the variety of life on the earth. These are all different forms of life. Animals, plants, fungi, microorganisms, and they all live together in ecosystems. Ecosystems that create life and sustain life. So the food we have, the water we drink, the air we breathe, the shelter we have, is all thanks to this wonderful biodiversity. So as the Brahma Kumaris, we also participate in UN conference, which is dedicated to restoring the biodiversity. Biodiversity means biological diversity. And we participated in the last one in Montreal in last year, December. And our main theme was awakening a flourishing future. And our message was that this awakening can happen only from inside out. That inside we have the power, we have the resources to make it happen. And then what is very important is to realize all and recognize all different relationships. Relationship with all rights and responsibilities. And what we proposed a concept of ecosynthesis. Ecosynthesis as the holistic approach towards anything. Ecosynthesis is the way to reconnect with myself spiritually, then with others, with divine, with nature. So everything is included. We cannot take out anything from this equation. So this is ecosynthesis, a very holistic approach. And now I would like to ask Sister Priyanka to come and share with us her beautiful work exactly in this area. Because during these 3 hours that we are spending together, we are going to speak about the subtle way of serving the nature, but also about some physical, specific, concrete projects that Brahma Kumaris has been doing. So Priyanka, Sister Priyanka, please come. You can sit here. Okay. So Sister Priyanka has a background in agriculture, and she's a wonderful sister. Right now, she's one of her activities is outreach project to regenerate villages. So in Brahma Kumaris, we have a new concept of building models of golden-aged villages. So Sister Priyanka has, together with her team, has adopted one, two, few of such villages in Kutch, area of Kutch in Gujarat, and she has been transforming them. And she will share with us the results of her work.
Om Shanti. And now we are here at different terrain. We are in the mountains. Now we want to take you to a different terrain. Video. Kutch is the biggest district in India, and which is also a driest place or driest district in all over the world, and which is bigger than the 125 countries in the world. It's like the geographical area of this place is more, but the situation is critical here, like some African countries. So you can see how we can shape this spiral of erosion with some sweet spots, and we can convert this spiral of erosion with our love, care, respect, our vibration, our consciousness into the spiral of abundance. And we can define the golden age in one word, like abundance, and also one word like love. So we can see, and you can tour this amazing place, how the soil regenerate, how the soul regenerate, and how the abundance is bring in the system. this is the story of only 8 months when we started working in the Kutch last February 10, 2022. And the land is fully barren, and it's not only the land, but the souls are there going through lots of sufferings. So the landscape and so the animals over there. The grassland is one of the degenerated ecosystem over there, and it's like hundreds and hundreds of hectare land can't feed the 10 cows. It's the big thing over there. So initially we went there for just preparing one model of food forest. So different 8 to 10 layers of forest we want to mimic at that place by channelizing the energy of soil, energy of water, and create a lush, flourishing food forest by choosing the native species of that place and to make that space a home for us, home for insects, birds, and everyone. So we are homemakers over there. So this is the concept of eco-village. Generally in the world, the people start co-housing and start building new villages with their values and concepts. But we went in the village which are existing on this beautiful planet, and we are simply adding the spices which are missing in this dish. We can say how to make it more delicious. So we just adding 3 values: love, care, respect, and we are based on the interconnectedness. And the whole thing, a regeneration is impossible without the well-being and education. So we are there to educate and help the people how to heal themselves, how to heal our landscape, and ultimately how to heal the planet. So let's see. So this is the mission. The vision is creating, it's like a co-creating the resilient, abundant, and value-based society or value-based communities who are living with harmony with nature. It's our inner nature and then outer nature. And the mission is like building such a sustainable communities which are by educating the people how to heal their landscapes and creating the abundance, and how to cope up with any uncertainty or any climatic challenges with holistic approach. And the values I already mentioned, we are based on 3 values: love, care, and respect. So this is our beautiful team which is engaged in Kutch, which is beautiful hearts and mind behind all these stories. And what we did in last 1 year, we completed 1 year, like we reached up to 3 villages. Now it's more than 3. Now lots of more than 50 villages come to us. They want to regenerate their villages with our principles. We are mainly focusing on the grasslands. I already mentioned the grassland is the very vulnerable ecosystem right now, but it's the only very resilient ecosystem on the planet. It's having capacity in tons and tons time. So we are working on grassland, food forest, kitchen garden for every single village and for every single home. We are giving some perennial nutritious vegetable through the kitchen garden program. And community garden is a space where all the community, means it's not irrespective of age, caste, and gender, they can come together at the place where they can grow their own vegetables, spices, fruits. And we started first model at a small village of having only 95 people over there. It's a really very small, but it's really nice to start with small village and slow and small initiative, and then we can replicate in number of village according to the challenges. And we planted a very minimal number. It's like 3,733 plants. But right now, I am here with the team. Team is today also planting some trees with love. So, for us, Eco Village is the harmony. Eco Village is the beautiful world we can imagine. The Baba used to tell us the golden age. How it is based on the peace, how it's based on the happiness and love. So we just are seeding the, we are growing the seeds or sowing the seeds of hope in every individual's mind, how we can co-create this place which we are sharing with others, more beautiful, and which it's already used to be that beautiful place. So we just are giving the vision of that world. And the souls used to resonate with that frequency, because the youths having the energy, they are coming with, they don't used to satisfy with corporate jobs. They want to serve in communities at grassroots level, and that's why our team is growing more and more with like-minded and highly resonating souls. And we are creating the eco. For me, eco is like E-C-H-O, to herd the eco of Mother Nature. As we heard the echoes of nature, water, soil, flower, so similarly heard each and every subtle echo with our consciousness and respond to that echo in the form of the Eco Village. So some impact sectors are like grassland, watershed development, because there is no water. The area having only 170 mm rainfall. So we are working on water harvesting structures over there, the soil regeneration. When we regenerate the soil, it holds 7 times more water than the water flowing in the rivers. Food forest, the kitchen gardens, community gardens, wastewater management is the key principle, because the daily we producing the grey water and we are growing the gardens on that grey water. And capacity building is very essential and the key part like for soul regeneration. Without that, whatever you build, it's then again turn into different things. So these are some stories, how women participate in the village going activities, and how we can find the wild food from the grasslands or from the forest, because we are unaware of their nutritional values, or we lost in agriculture sector, in agro biodiversity. Earlier we have 30,000 of species to eat, but now our plate is dominant with only 3 species of grain and 1 potato. So how we can make colorful plate again? So that's the vision behind all these gardens and food forests, and we are teaching them how we all are connected and how we can build a creative spaces from we get maximum production, but in the relationship with respect and love. So biodiversity, as we all know, when we add the plant communities, something happen in the nature. It attracts, it's like a life attracts other lives, and all this circle is connected. So all these species started coming. Even our pond, we prepare pond, other water bodies. Migratory birds visited for the first time of that village after creating that ponds and all other ecosystem. These are the things, and how we can live together with cooperation, and how it's essential. And somewhere the reason is deep-rooted in our arrogance and ignorance. We are the superior, or we don't need the nature. We can get the food from malls, and people also don't know from where food comes. But and who really feed us? It's not only the farmer. it's a single microbe and it's a single bee and it's a single spider, and everything in that link is really very essential. And some shocking facts we already saw in the quiz, and the same facts here. We lost almost, we can say, 65% of agricultural biodiversity, and much more the all other biodiversities. Here, there is the possibility we lost 90% of reefs up to 2050. So it's really challenging. And the village Bharapur, where we are working, their population is only 95 people. The population of peacock is 6,000. So we are enjoying daily with peacocks. It's like for us, the Satyuga is started over there. And these are the some wildflowers. And this is the story. Earlier, the grassland is fully barren. And they gifted us ki whatever you want to do, you have to do on this piece of land where nothing can be grown. And within a one season, and luckily, it's due to God's grace and blessings of elders. This year, we have huge rainfall. And all our water structures filled with full of water. And everyone in the village challenged us. You are the small kids, what you guys do, and from this land nothing can grow. And we grow this grass, so sorry, not we grow, but the nature flourishes itself by some simple interventions. And first principle to work with nature, just don't do anything. Just go and be there. With your presence, things started happen. And just observe how minimal interventions can help the landscape over there for their healing. So we simply added some seeds and some water structures, and then it becomes like this. And then it offered home for more than 22 species of butterflies within a season. 10 species of butterflies, 60 to 75 species of birds, and more than actually 134 species of grasses revived within one season. And all over the grassland, it's full of praying mantis. It's one of our favorite insects. And that is about the ecological restoration. Few things in agroecological intervention, like a cover crop. This cover crops is grown on only... means it's only on dew fed. In Kutch, there is nothing happens. It's there in head. But we put the seeds and they started growing on only dew. And this is the scenario. And the people in Kutch and in the villages, they are mostly elder, 70, 75, 80. And they planted a whole community garden over there. And now they know how to stop the water, how to use the water. And they used to teach their kids or other village farmers ki how we can use small intervention to flourish our village and make it more self-reliant and self-sufficient so that we don't need any other things from outside the village. So this is the 75-year-old farmer who want to make his farm as a model for all over the world. People can come there and see the diversity in his land. So he initiated 7 layers of food forest in his land. He's Baba's child. He's practicing Rajyoga meditation from last 40 years. So we added some garden system interventions, like a small piece of 5 to 6 feet, we can grow more than 30 species of herbs, which are essential for going beyond the senses, also refresh and relish yourself. So these are all the village peoples where we started work at first time. And thank you. This is our story, which is based on our love. And... we got lots of blessings from our elders, and we got the beautiful team which resonate with Mother Nature, and we can resonate with each other, and we are learning from Mother Nature daily. and we are trying ki how we can heal more betterly. Thank you. Are you enjoyed?
Too much.
Thank you.
Yes, it was so wonderful. Very inspiring, very practical actions, and beautiful combination of the inner values with outside results. Very beautiful. Congratulations, and yes, we are with you. All our blessings and whatever help you need. Thank you. No, no. You took just the right time. Thank you so much. Now I would like to share with you one more project, which is about creating biodiversity. And you may have heard about it. It's called Kalb Taruch. And it's about more than planting trees. It's about planting trees with love and care, and then taking care of them till the end. Because it's not just a matter of planting the tree, but then caring for it. And the idea is that for one planet, one person will plant one tree. So this is the uniqueness of this project, that actually every person should plant at least a tree. So I will share it in the form of a small video, so you can get to know more about it, and if you are interested, again, there is a lot of information and everyone can join this beautiful initiative. So far, 30 countries have been involved. More than 3,000 awareness events happened. And whatever we do on the basis of our values. One person, one plant for one planet. 1.6 million people planted 1.6 million trees. I think now more, because this was updated in November. And there is a special app created. You can all download this app. It's very informative and very inspiring app. And there are different languages in this app, and you can add yours if you would like to. And many dignitaries, many VIPs have been included in this campaign, including Prime Minister Modi and recently Madam President, who also planted a tree in this campaign. And of course our seniors. So many activities have happened in different outreach areas to reconnect with nature, to relive in harmony with nature. All different types of colleges, schools, planting trees is a nice door opener for any environmental activities and then spiritual follow-up. Okay, so I think that was a very quick update. And I really recommend you to look at this app. It's very beautifully made, very informative and being updated. There is also a lot of beautiful sharing from seniors and meditations. And you can register the tree that you planted. And before you plant it, it will tell you, the app will tell you what kind of tree you should plant in your area, when, how, and then how to take care of it. It's very good. And the last thing in this session, I would like to speak about a project which is called the Great Green Wall. And the Great Green Wall, it's not a Brahma Kumari project. It's a project of African Union and United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification. And it's a project which aims at restoring ecosystem along the Sahel region in Africa, so at the south edge of Sahara region. This is a region which is one of the most, one of the poorest regions in the whole world, and ecosystem there has been degraded a lot. And there is a lot of consequences of that, social, political, there is a lot of unrest, a lot of conflicts over food and water. So now there is this beautiful project going on, which is a very challenging one, but people keep their enthusiasm and they keep going on. So when we participated in this UNCCD conferences that look at how to combat desertification, we learned about this project and we really liked it. And we thought how we can support it. And the best way to support it is with our spiritual power, our love, our respect. So we have created an initiative which is called Peace Drops for the Great Green Wall. And the beauty of this initiative is that everyone can join. Every month we have special programs where we choose different values which are relevant to this project, and we create special meditations and sharings by our seniors. So you can also join, and we all can send Baba's vibrations, Baba's love and power to those souls who work in this project and also to the ecosystem itself. So now I would like you to see one example of this kind of meditation that we do and join us so together we can share our gratitude for the Great Green Wall. The first one is a short introduction, invitation to join the initiative. It's time to make a difference. And this is for people outside, right? For so-called Lokik people, as we say. So let's join before it's too late. To inspire meaningful changes in our environment and communities, we need the right mindset. Meditation builds our inner strength to overcome all obstacles. And like water drops, its ripples span far and wide. Drops of peace. Peace drops for the Great Green Wall. And now let's have meditation for the Great Green Wall. And in this meditation we focus on gratitude. What am I grateful for?
A world.
Growing a world wonder.
The Great Green Wall is taking root in Africa's Sahel region.
It's taking root in the Sahel region.
The edge of the Sahara Desert. One of the poorest places.
It's one of the poorest places in the world.
Millions of people there are already facing the devastating impact of climate change.
Millions of people are facing the climate change consequences, droughts, lack of food,
conflicts over natural resources, and mass migration are just some of the many consequences. The Great Green Wall is about much more than growing trees.
It's much more than growing trees.
It's about improving millions of lives.
It's improving lives of millions of people.
Growing fertile land.
Fertile land.
Is one of humanity's most precious natural assets. It is growing biodiversity.
Growing biodiversity. To bring life to the desert.
There's growing a wall of hope.
It's a growing wall of hope for so many people.
Growing food security for the
food security
that go hungry
for millions who are hungry every day.
It is growing green jobs, giving real incomes to families
green jobs
across the Sahel. Growing a reason to stay.
It's growing a reason
to help break
to stay.
The cycle of migration. What do I feel? I feel a lot of appreciation.
I feel a lot of
for
appreciation
those suffering
for those people.
Change, and I am grateful for their dignity.
I am grateful
courage,
for their dignity,
resilience.
Courage, resilience.
I am sending from my heart. My
so
love,
from my heart, I send
my
love
power to them.
To empower them.
My heart is full of gratitude for people who are involved.
I'm grateful for people who are engaged in this project.
Who are engaged in a mosaic of initiatives. For their inspiration.
Grateful for their inspiration, perseverance, and enthusiasm.
For facing all obstacles, bouncing back, and moving forward, no matter what. I am sending my feelings of respect to them.
I'm sending my respect to them.
For their continued efforts.
And good wishes for their success.
The one that never
nature
gives up, always is ready to heal and return.
Never
to
gives up,
harmony,
always ready to heal. If we only allow her to do it.
I am deeply grateful for nature's selflessness,
selflessness,
unlimitedness,
and abundance.
I can see
of nature.
Ecosystem across the Sahel region, bringing health, wealth, and happiness to all the people. And finally, I am grateful for myself.
And I'm also grateful for myself.
That I can hear the call of time.
That I can hear
the
call of time.
To act.
Recognize the need to act.
Inner power and motivation.
I have inner power, motivation.
I have the divine
a connection with the divine light.
Spreading the rays of hope,
spreading
and,
the rays of hope and love.
Living beings, the land, the plants, all animals of the Sahel region.
Gratitude
the greatest power to make the impossible
is the greatest
possible.
Power to make the impossible possible.
The great wonder.
To grow the great wonder. Please join us every second Sunday of each month. We have a new program, and it is for all of us to become part of this great green wonder. Okay, Om Shanti. So this way we have finished the first important area, the biodiversity, and now I would like to invite Dirito Pai and also Tamasin, and they will lead us through the next theme, which is subtle agroecology, and they will explain what it means.
Om Shanti. Okay, so this is the second part, I think, the beginning of the second part of our presentation. So we are talking about Sato agroecology. And maybe the first thing is to find out what is agroecology. And I know the previous presentation talked about that, you know. So it is, so you know that farming, or commercial farming, industrial farming, has brought so much of imbalance in nature. So agroecology is like a method of dealing with this, where we get as holistic as we can do in order to try to ensure that agriculture is much more sustainable. And the idea behind it is to then integrate other aspects that are relevant. You know, there are social aspects, the aspects of the biology itself, the actual agricultural sciences, because you need to be practical. But then you also add the knowledge that those who have lived in that region already had. They are growing crops for so long, they know how the conditions are. So a lot of the indigenous knowledge needs to come back into the process of farming, agriculture, and when all of that gets integrated in quite a systematic manner, then we can say we are doing agroecology. And I have this figure here, but the idea is not to go through the details of this, but just to indicate that, you know, there are quite a number of aspects that are connected with agroecology. The social aspects, the ecological aspects, and all of that. But how does this connect with what Baba tells us? Because Baba says, you know, serve nature. Baba says the golden age of your place, all these issues won't arise. And you know, Baba says, serve the elements. I think we heard that from the Mulis. I was actually looking for one extract where Baba was specifically talking about farming, but I missed it. So in 2009, Baba was talking about how when you give yoga, even the pests, you know, the crops are more resistant to pests, to diseases, they're much more healthier, but I couldn't locate it before today's presentation. And we know that the Brahma Kumaris has been doing yogic farming for over 15 years now, quite a long time, and especially in India, and I think there are now 2,000 or more farmers who are practicing this. And quite a few studies have been done on yogic farming, even in India and beyond. And what is yogic farming? So organic farming is much more sustainable. But in addition to that, we are saying, let's add positive thoughts, you know. That's where the Baba's energy, the energy of meditation, comes in. And what has been found out is that it makes a big impact. Probably in practice, that's why we have 2,000 or more farmers actually already doing it. But in terms of research that might also help other sectors that we need to serve, because then we have to serve the whole tree. We have to serve the scientists, we have to serve the researchers and all of that. So I happen to be working in a university, so teaching and researching. So I've been doing some experiments to find out how well does this work. Can I show practically, you know, that yogic farming works, that positive thoughts impact on the growth of crops. And this particular website, I think, is one where one can find out so much about yogic farming, anyway, in India especially. So, I'm based in South Africa at this university, the Witwatersrand in Johannesburg, and I've carried out quite a few studies on this, and I'll present one main one, and I'll just mention the results of another one. So you can see these carrots growing in buckets. So we set up some experiment on the roof of the building where I am based. So that's the rooftop of the building, I think the fourth floor. And you can see 100 buckets, so 10 by 10. And we set this up in a manner that one of the buckets, so each bucket contained 8 carrots, and there are 100 buckets, so we are talking about 800 carrots, and it was arranged in this manner, which means a bucket that can be meditated on, and the bucket that you serve as a control are next to each other. That means that the experiment is nicely controlled. One, you not say that one side is hot, one side has more wind, the other side is cold or whatever it is. All of them are together. And so that's what happened. I was working with three students. And this is just, you know, some photos of what was happening as the experiment went on. So what was happening? How was the meditation happening? So I'm based at the center in Soweto, which is down on this end, Soweto BK Center, and the university is about 15 kilometers away. So every morning after Amrit Vela, I used to spend another half hour meditating on 50 of the buckets, which means 400 carrots. And also 20 minutes to actually meditate on the carrots, and another 10 minutes to meditate on the water that was being treated with, for the buckets that were being treated with meditation or meditated on. And an illustration is what I'm showing there. It's not very clear, but you can see, so the red indicates that, you know, you meditate on one diagonal, you skip another diagonal, meditate on the next one. So I was simply visualizing that. So there's this, it's remote, which means I was actually not there being on the rooftop of the building and doing the meditation. It was after Amrit Vela, I spent another half hour doing this, up to when we harvested the crops. And what did we find out? So I did this for 3 months. Yes? Okay, my thoughts. Most of the time it was actually just, you know, sitting as a soul, taking a current of light from Baba and simply spreading that light to the diagonal. Yes? So I just visualize. I just stand, for instance, on top. For this case, I would be just visualize this diagonal here that I'm standing on this. Sometimes I'd actually be above it, sometimes on the side of it. But the main thing is this light, this current of light from Baba spreading to that whole diagonal. That was the main thing that I was doing. And sometimes I was having thoughts that let these crops or these particular carrots be impacted by the highest possible and purest energy that is available in the universe. Because that's Baba's energy, the highest energy, the purest energy, the most powerful energy, and let the potential of growth of these crops be enhanced to the highest possible extent. So those are the main kinds of thoughts that I was having. But most of the time it's just the current of light at night. The same way one gives drishti, you know, you say before you start eating, give energy to your food. As simple as that, you know, that sort of thing. But it is focused. And I'm visualizing that I'm skipping one diagonal and going to the rest. So anyway, we went through that process and we harvested the carrots, and what we found is that the average weight of the carrots that were meditated on was 11% higher. Statistically, it was significant. And actually, even the leaves and the shoots were about 10% higher. And what we also found out is that the nutrition content, most of the constituents, so we took a sample of the carrots to some accredited lab for testing nutrition content, and this is what we found. We found that for most of the constituents, there was a very large increase in nutrition content. It was even evident before we took the carrots to the labs. So I was showing my colleagues, you know, this sample meditated on, the other sample not meditated on, and I was finding out which one did you want to have, you know, some fruit juice, some carrot juice, or which ones did you want to have. It was clear. It was very clear that these ones are much more bigger than these other ones. So anyway, this was a good experiment showing that, you know, yogic farming works, or this energy of thought works. And the interesting thing is that this was well controlled. It was actually not organic farming in that sense, because we needed to control even in the nutrition to each of the buckets. We are using liquid fertilizer so that you can control the. It was hydroponic, in other words. You can control the quantity of nutrition going to each of the buckets. Okay, that's one, that was one experiment. And anyway, some yogic family resorts from India, I'm just doing these here. Actually, I find, you know, there are not so many. Lots of practical, lots of farming is happening, but looking for actual, you know, research from universities in India or even beyond is a bit difficult. There are some that have been done anyway, but there are not many of them. And actually, I'm thinking, you know, that's one, if anyone here would be happy to, you know, for us to work in this area, that would be very interesting, because there are so many souls we can serve in this way. The more results we have, there are so many souls we can serve. So anyway, practical yogic farming in India has also realized, you know, quite lots of benefits, as you can see here. So the first one is talking about the percentage increase in what? In, yes, the percentage increase in yield, and biomass yield and weight and all of that. So it has also been shown to be quite, I mean, in practice, results have been obtained in that manner. Okay, I just want to show this, yes? Yes, I mean, I don't know the reason for that. A few of them are down, others are up. But if you look at the vertical scale here, the percentages are quite low anyway. Yeah, that's about 7, 6, 5. Actually, the ones that are quite significant, you know, practically could be like this one, and these are the three. Yeah, somehow we forgot to take the sugar content. We should also have indicated something. Okay, so you know the other subtle ecologists who also carry out some research, and this particular one I want to show by, okay, it's a bit of a distraction here, but it is by two individuals. I know one of them is a prominent researcher in the field of water. He was also a meditator, and they carried out some field experiments used with okra, and this is a bit of the detail. So they had 4 by 5 meter grids, so giving energy to these grids, and then the others acting as controls, and they obtained very large increases in yield from the two experiments they carried out, which is quite high. 88%, 121% increase with different levels of extent of meditation. So quite interesting. There are not many results, but they are there. That, you know, subtle agroecology is a practical thing. And the good thing is that I think there is no carbon footprint. You know, the other things we are taking care of. You're saying, oh, you're doing this, you're doing that. You're using so much of it. You're either transporting your material, you're producing fertilizer, even organic farming has to be transported. But when you just think about your thoughts, you're creating this impact, you're also enjoying yourself, you become a better individual because you're meditating. So it's like a whole package, win-win in all sorts of ways. So it's so powerful, it's so unlimited in a sense. And I think it simply needs to come out more into every field. And that's why more research on this would be very useful. Okay, just a few experiments. I have done some other shorter experiments, and this is where you simply meditate on water, meditate on seeds, and then you grow them in a controlled manner to find the length of your shoot, the length of your root. These are simple experiments. So they take about 10 days or 20 days or something. So I've carried out a number of these experiments, and what I'm showing here are some basic results. And we find that in most of them, there is an increase in the length of the shoot and the length of the root, and they are very significant. Most of them were statistically significant, so this is again something showing that in reality, when you apply your mind, you apply your thoughts, it makes a big impact on what happens. So I'm thinking we have been asking questions as we have been carrying on, but if anyone else has any comment or questions, you can ask.
She's asking about the cost difference comparing chemical to non-chemical. I'm just... Oh, sorry, heat.
Yeah.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Fantastic work. Really important because it needs to be scientifically proven. So congratulations. There's something that you mentioned towards the end which I think is very important to include in this information, which is the cost difference. Because when you look at the graph of mind yield and chemical yield, how much money was spent on that chemical? Because we know, not unfortunately, just the way it is at the moment, everything is run by economics. So adding that piece of data would really influence people's decisions as well. Om Shanti, well done.
Yes, thank you. And that's actually what one of my focus areas now is to do that. Find any commercial farmers who might be interested in this. Okay, organic farmers might be easier to work with because they already, you know, they have that frame of mind. But commercial farmers could also be approached. And the idea would be, you know, how much more you could say profit or whatever it is, yeah. What difference will it make in terms of your costs, ultimately? And that can also be modeled theoretically, but you can also, you know, do it out there, you know, have an actual field experiment and carry this out. Yeah, thank you. Okay, I think I'm done. So, Tamazin, you can carry on.
Well, this is a nice opportunity now that Duritu has shown the connection between human thought and human intention and the effect on plants, on different life forms. So what I'm going to do first, actually, is first of all, there's a couple of things. We know about racism and we know about sexism because they're, you know, overt forms of body consciousness, but there's also something people are discussing more called speciesism. And this is the idea that somehow humans are exceptional as a species, meaning that we can do what we like to others and to other species, non-human species. But at the same time, there's a growing awareness as more research is done on non-human animals and other species, that every time they do an experiment, we find out we are more similar to other species, not less similar. So we share 50% of our DNA with the tree, for instance. The neural complexity of the brain of a bird mirrors the same neural complexity of the human brain. So, and also our bodies, I mean, we know that they're made of nature, but we speak about nature sometimes as out there, we want to go out to nature. But, you know, 70% of our bodies are water, and 99% of the water cells are actually empty space. So, in one way you can say it looks like flesh and blood, but actually in reality it's water. And actually in a deeper reality it's empty space, because most of our cells are made of empty space. So it's very interesting, all these experiments and these different inquiries into the elements, into the natural world, into other forms of life. And this is something Baba didn't go into, but it wasn't really relevant 100 years ago when Baba began the yajna, but now, and also with the daddies having mostly gone in advance, I feel it's up to us somehow. It's up to our generation to serve through these mechanisms. And so I have this little machine. It's a very humble little machine. What it does is we connect it to plants. We have some plants here. And just as Duritu explained that when we have a particular thought or intention, that does have an effect on the plant. So we haven't done, I haven't done this experiment yet, but we're going to do it together. So first I'm going to connect these electrodes to the plant. And what it does is it translates the electromagnetic energy of the plant, the photosynthesis, the life energy that is constantly going on in plants all around us all the time. It translates that into sound that we can hear. And that's very meaningful for us because we know they're alive, we know they grow, but normally we don't think about it. But when you can hear the ebb and the flow of their life energy, it's quite something. So I'm going to connect them to the different plants so you can hear the different sounds, and every plant is unique. And then we will do a meditation and let's just see. Maybe nothing will be there. Maybe the plant is on their own, is on their own way, but maybe it will. So let me try. Sometimes it does also stop. We connect these little electrodes to the leaves of the plant. So let us see this. To interrupt them, but then it's nice to hear the uniqueness of each plant. Thank you. I always say thank you because I'm like grabbing their leaves, so I, you know. So we'll go to this daddy flower and see what sound she makes. is in silence. Shall we now, with this beautiful daddy flower, just as we have meditation on this most beautiful flower, there is no other one like it in the entire world. This flower is completely unique, and the little face of the yellow flower is looking at you all with such love. So remember Baba, the Creator Spirit, and sit there as little flowers yourself, little soul flowers in the forehead, sitting there. And open your heart to Baba's love and project that love to this flower and let us see how she sings. So how did you feel, what did you think, and what was it like? isn't it?
Yes, I just wanted to say that it was stunning. I knew that plants gave off a kind of sound, but I had no idea that it would be so enjoyable, so defined, really,
yeah.
Because it's very distinct, isn't it? Each flower has a particular sound.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Where did you get that equipment, and what is it?
It's a... You can buy them online, strangely enough. It's a small electrical device that picks up electromagnetic waves, just like everything, you know, electromagnetic energy in our bodies. You know, if I hold it, it'll make the sound of my body, because my body's living. Well, I mean, you know, it's alive because I'm in it. But... And so it translates those inaudible electromagnetic signals into audible waves, audio waves. And, yeah, I mean, they're available and they're becoming popular because of this whole wave of people feeling disconnected and they're concerned about the environment, but what to do, it's so vast. The problem and what can I do? People are overwhelmed and people are seeking ways to reconnect with nature through many things. Yes, it is a beautiful way to reconnect with nature, to bring it a step closer. And, you know, I noticed that the register of the plant when we were meditating, it went lower and it went higher. It increased the range of sounds were greater when we were meditating. And, you know, this is an unscientific experiment, but a very joyful one. And it just brings us that bit closer to this nature that is our companion through the entire drama. So I think now we take a break for 10 minutes and you can have a walk and a stretch. The food cards, should we give those? So we have some little blessing cards for you, and they're quite unique. And we may use them later, but Annetta will give them to you. And then we'll come back in 10 minutes at 20 past. So just have a stretch and a break and we'll see you back here at 20 past. And then we'll do some more. And the final activity is a very enjoyable one. So see you in 10 minutes.